One more. Sunday morning, this is February the 2nd, 2020. This is a teaching, it's called Move Them into Faith. No word, no faith. You know, people want you to pray. They want you to pray quick. They want an instant potato prayer. Romans 10. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, that shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So no word, no faith. Paul talked about how can they hear if they don't have a preacher? That's how people become born again. Hearing the word of salvation. If we would obey what God's word says, we would learn God's ways. When you know God's ways, then you will know what he has done and what he will do. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're going to read that. I quote it a lot, but we're going to read that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we're thinking right here, you know what that is? That's laying down your mind, your will, your emotions, and its fickleness to God's will as a living sacrifice. You could say you're laying your mind on the altar to be sacrificed. You're fixing to learn a way, new way of thinking. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So you're deciding, Lord, I got a messed up mind, but I'm laying it on the altar. And I'm going to get in the Word, and I'm going to change my mind for the better. Full repentance. So many spend their whole life using God as a genie in a bottle. Most of the prayer requests I get is just this type of thing. I've gotten to where I'll type out a prayer, a scripturally correct prayer, and have them agree with me. Instead of, you know, oh, pray, pray, pray. And everybody's praying 150 directions. What's that going to do? Nothing. It's spiritual sounding, religious sounding. Sounds good. Of course, we know that it doesn't work this way. I think, in my personal opinion, the day prayer hotline started, it was a disservice to the body of Christ. What did they do? People quit seeking God and got others to do their praying for them. Every ministry has their hotline. I know people, even from the charismatic days, they're still running to every hotline every time any little thing happens. Is that what the word says do? Matthew 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye need of before ye asked him. Then he goes on talking about praying the Lord's Prayer over your life. I know the last vehicle we gave away, the person we gave the vehicle to, they told me that they had prayed Matthew 6, 6. They'd gone secretly into their closet. They had been specific before the Lord and listed what they wanted. And what blew this person away was how exact the answer was. It fit perfectly with this prayer. I didn't know about the need. Danny didn't know about the need, but God did. This spoke volumes. I believe this changed this man's life and probably the life of his family. Yeah. My example of praying for someone. See, right here. Wait a minute. Right here. Wait a minute. What was my example for praying for someone? It'll come back to me. It does say that if we need help, we can go to the church elders to obtain wisdom. This is James chapter 5, verse 14 through 18. You can call in the church elders. But I think really calling in the church elders is more to incite the person to faith, because at the end of that, it's talking about Elijah. Prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and it rained. It's to encourage someone, maybe young in their faith, that don't know how to do it, to stay in faith, you know, and stand in faith. I know the example. I told you the Lord would bring it back to me. One day, and I've told this before, I'll tell it again. One day, I was asked to pray for a certain person, which I'd prayed for many times before, and I watched this person get worse and die over many years. One time, during all that time, that person actually got a hold of something I said, and they used their faith and it worked for them, but I guess it wasn't enough to change the situation. But I was asked to pray for them, so I was going to go home and I was going to spend my afternoon, an hour or two, praying in the Spirit for this person. And the Lord said to me, "No, you're not." He said, "Didn't I not die for him?" "Well, yes, sir." "Didn't I say that if you'd ask anything in my name, I'd do it?" "Yes, sir." "Well, if he asked me, I'll do it." So I didn't pray. I wasn't supposed to pray. He was supposed to pray. You see how we've gotten it to the place that everybody, I hear a lot, "Oh, you need to pray for me." I'm thinking, really, do I? Is that what the scripture says, that I'm supposed to pray for you? As if I don't have anything on my plate? Lord only knows. I'm not opposed to praying for anybody. When I sit down to pray in the Spirit, many people come across my mind while I'm praying in the Spirit. And that's how I pray for people. Sometimes I'll get something, I'll say, "Well, if I'm going fixing to go to prayer, and if the Lord gives me something, I'll pray." I don't commit to, you know, that stuff. Not anymore. It's not my responsibility. Now I do pray over my partners and make certain confessions over my partners. Yes, I do. Okay. Jesus didn't tell us to call everyone we know when we have a problem, but to speak to our problems. Mark 11:22. have God's faith. We have God's faith. He's given us a measure of faith, and we're supposed to speak to that situation in that circumstances, tell it to be removed, be cast to the sea, and if we believe the words we speak, we'll have whatever we say. To me, with the prayer lines and stuff, I mean, if the Lord tells you to do a prayer line, then do a prayer line. But the point is, it's not about how many. Because if any two on earth agree, as touching anything they shall ask, it should be done of them, my Father which is in heaven. So it's not about the numbers. I think it's more about being in line with the scripture than anything else. Okay. Maybe you don't have this problem, but I run into it. I hear this a lot. You need to pray for me, or would you pray for me? This attitude is already wrong. I'm not the Savior. My prayers are not any better than your prayers. My faith measure is not any different than yours. See, I think people think, well, they're a great person of faith, so we'll have them pray. No. Drive-through Christianity. There's no microwave maturity. There's not. You do their praying for them, and they go off their busy lives because they don't have time to pray or to open their Bible. Okay, Matthew chapter 12. I'm just telling you, don't take on burdens you don't have to take on. I think that's probably one of the things that a lot of people get into trouble with wanting to help people is because they think, well, they have to pray for everything. And I have some people in my life that every time I'm around them, it's, here we go again, the whirlwind. Like the Tasmanian devil, just always talking and blabbing and needing and all, you know, you just go, if you just get them to the Word, get them into faith, man. You're not going to be able to help them unless you do. Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So Jesus is telling them here, you put in good things, you'll get the benefit of that back out. If you don't put any in, there's no basis to get anything good. Okay, Luke 6. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And evil is just natural. Natural human nature is evil. For with the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. If you're not putting anything in, you're not going to get anything out of it. Sort of like a bank account. Don't put anything money into your bank account. Go to the window and say, I'd like to draw some money out. They'd say, but you don't have any money in here. See, they're like the virgins. Five were foolish, five were wise, and the ones that ran out, didn't have enough oil, they want to borrow from you. Isn't that the way it is? All right, let's keep going. It does amaze me, though, that what people think the Bible says. They don't have any firsthand knowledge whatsoever. I was telling Danny about a young woman that does my hair, and she said, "Well, the Lord will give you what you need, but He won't give you what you want." And I said, "The Lord gives me what I want all the time." "Yeah, but what you wanted is probably what you needed." Where do these people get this stuff? Grandma. And they take it. It's the gospel. Grandma said it must be so. And they never crack a Bible for themselves to find out, what does the Word of God really have to say? I've asked the Lord, help me, Lord, to interject. And she's opened up some over, I've been going to her for nearly a year now. And she's got to where she's a little bit easier to talk to. She considers herself a Christian and a conservative, but she thinks, well, you know, God will forgive, you know, being a homosexual. But what they don't understand is the repentance part. Repentance means to think differently. You know, she's from the millennial generation that thinks so. You know, that's why the millennials can't be trusted to take this serious message. God's having to raise up boomers, renew their youth like he did with Moses, to take this message because we get it. They missed something in the computation down the road to be able to do that. Not all, but some. Okay. I said, well, anyway, doesn't matter. You know, Brother Hagin, he has so many examples in his little book on health food, and there was a story, a couple stories actually. I could never find the reference, and I looked through there. But he was dealing with a woman that she was in the service. He was at this church for a couple of weeks, and so she listened to everything he had to say. And the last night, I think he was there a few nights before he left, she was standing at the back door. So when he went out the door, she asked him a question that, when you pray for me, will it be my faith or your faith? He said, well, it'll have to be a combination of both of our faiths. She said, well, if I have to have anything to do with it, forget it. So she never came back. Well, a few years later, he's in a service, same church, and he sees that woman out there, and she's taking notes. When it's time to pray for the sick, she was the first one down there. And they prayed for her, and one crutch went one way, the other crutch went another way, and she walked off. What happened? She got in the Word for herself, and she started letting the Word of God build in her. So when she got prayed for, her faith was at a high level, and she could receive. There's another one. Brother Hagin said back during his ministry is when the TB stuff and all that, tuberculosis. So there was a woman in a wheelchair, had a little girl. The little girl had polio, the woman. And prayed for the little girl. The little girl got healed, was running around where she couldn't walk before. The woman, she got filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, but they tried to get her to pray for her, to get up out of that chair, but she just couldn't do it. Well, some years passed, and this woman had a housekeeper that started, she couldn't even put, back when you put the DVD, I guess, into the, not DVD, the videotape into the deal, she couldn't even do it with her hands. She couldn't, so the housekeeper would put these tapes in for her, and she began to listen to the Word. She ended up writing Brother Hagin a letter and saying, it's taken me 4 years to get out of my chair, but now I'm up doing all my housework. See, they had to be moved into faith before they could get any lasting help. You know, I'm not against people and praying for people, but I know that if they get it on my faith, next time something happens, they'll want me to do it again, and I can't. I know Brother Hagin with his own sister. His sister died, she died at 55, but at 50 she had cancer. And Brother Hagin went to the Lord about it, and he said, okay, this time, because you ask, I'll touch her, help her, everything. And he did. Well, 5 years later, she contacted some other kind of cancer, and so he couldn't. The Lord just said, you know, she has not cracked her Bible. She is not tuned into any of your broadcasts. She has not gone to any of your services. I gave her a chance. But this time I couldn't do it. So, we have to move people into faith. Somehow, because of the ignorance of God's Word, people don't realize that God is a faith God and that is how the kingdom operates. If they don't get it, they won't ever operate in the kingdom. If they would read the first chapter in the Bible, they would get it. I mean, you can read Genesis 1 and see how it operates. From the beginning to the end, it's all about faith. when Jesus comes and he speaks with the sword of his mouth and all the kingdoms of this world go, that's faith. God said, light be, light was. Faith. That's the way it is. So many people are waiting on God to do something today, but the truth of the matter is that he has already done it all and has sat down and is resting. He's waiting on them. John 5. Even Jesus operated this way. Jesus was not moved by the multitudes. I remember the Lord telling me, he said, I'll pass over 1,000,000 to get to you. Your faith. He's looking for faith. Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? When he dealt with the centurion said, speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. Will I find faith when I come? Yes, Lord, you're going to find it in me. All right. John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? In other words, the decision is up to you. It's not about me. It's about you. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So Jesus overlooked all the multitude that were out there, and he saw one man. God led him to one man. And what did he do? He gave him a faith opportunity. He said, get up. He perceived by the Spirit, evidently, the man had faith to be healed, like Paul did with Ananias, or whatever his name was. Heaven's warehouses are stocked and waiting for the demand placed on them. Brother Hagin's example, the lady with polio, I already told you that. She did finally connect after many years by hearing the Word of God. All right, John 14, that's going to be it for today. 14, verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, whether you need it or you want it. Ask means, right there means to call for, require, or desire. Okay, that's going to do it.